live from the Valley of the Sun, bringing you real hard-hitting news and views that will shock the political clowns and spin your head around. Here's Michael Herzog with The American Awakening.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the latest edition of The American Awakening. I'm Michael Herzog, your host, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, as always, there are, again, new and informative postings at theamericanawakening.org, and I invite you in at your leisure to peruse them for your reading pleasure. Also, there's a chat button for those who wish to engage in intellectual stimulation with informed listeners in the chat room. And as always, a quick shout-out to those listeners at KYAH 540 AM in Delta, Utah. Welcome. And the call-in listener line is 351-999-5116. Well, ladies and gentlemen, have we got our thinking caps on today? Are we ready to connect to a few more dots as we weave our way through the machinations of deep politics? Are we ready to dance to the tune of Booga Booga and duck under our beds to wait for what's always about to happen, but thankfully, at least for now, never does? So, the title of today's show is a continuation of the title of the show we had on Monday. It's Israeli-Russian Spying. Now, I've got my Friday co-host, Brendan O'Connell, here to give us a political mind escapade. And again, by show's end, tying my brain in a taut line hitch knot. Brendan, how goes it there in Southeast Asian future, your fine Saturday morning?
It's warm and humid, Mike. Greetings to your blazingly hot Phoenix, Arizona. And but it's the same, 28 degrees Celsius to 32 degrees Celsius and humid.
What is the degree of humidity over there right now, Brendan?
Actually, I must confess, it's been a little bit mild lately. It's certainly not the jungles of the deep jungles of Vietnam, but all this whole region near the equator, of course, is always humid. But it's always around a 80-90% mark.
Yeah, okay. Well, the only thing we've got going for us over here, and by the way, right now we are in a heat warning. I got a message from the electric company. They're telling people, you know, it's the broke people that have meters. If you run out of electricity, we'll keep it on, but you've got to come over and pay us as soon as the heat wave goes down. So they warn us of that. But yeah, it's a dry heat, so it's not as bad, but you can feel it when you get out there. You know, if you get out and walk around a little bit, you need to take some water with you. You're going to dry out quick. Now, on the flip side of that coin, where you are, you go out there and you're taking a bath and when you walk around the block in your own perspiration, you know.
But I still prefer 32 degrees Celsius and humid and not 45 degrees Celsius or 110 and dry.
Yeah. But at any rate, you know, in all honesty, and folks, we're kibitzing a bit here, waiting for the break so I can welcome my affiliate there in Crestview, Florida. But, you know, in all the places I've lived in this country and other places in the world, I've not been able to find a better, more comfortable place than Phoenix, Arizona, honestly. It just seems, especially, you know, between the September through March or April, you just can't beat it, especially in the dead winter time. You know, it's just... I would venture to say it's almost a paradise here compared to other places in the country. I've lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana for 23 years, and you can take the snow, folks, and you can have it. I don't want it, I don't need it, and I really never want to see it again. But with that, we're going to continue this show today, folks, with part two of what we were talking about Monday, which is why I said earlier, you know, it's going to spin my head around, because Brendan, as knowledgeable as he is and as well as he connects dots, I wind up always at the end of the show with a headache because I'm absorbing all of this stuff. So with that, let's take a one-minute break. We'll be back in just a minute. Michael Herzog with The American Awakening and my special Friday co-host, Brendan O'Connell. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to The American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back, and I wish to welcome all those listeners from WXEI 95.3 FM in Crestview, Florida. Now, folks, let me bring this up. Well, what did I do with it? There we go. Okay. Remember Monday we were talking about all of these people, all these players in the game over in Israel are actually from Russian communist countries. And so we want to make it clear here to the American audience that every single leader of Israel is a Polish-Russian communist. and most lived on kibbutzim originally. Now, with that, Brendan, you know, we're starting from where we left on Monday, so go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, well, the kibbutzim I'm talking in mandated Palestine in the 1920s. So nearly 80% were born in either Russia, Ukraine, or Poland, then part of the Russian Empire or the Soviet Empire. Or they were the first generation sons and daughters of Polish-Russian communists. I mean, it's literally. Understand that there's not a dime's worth of difference between you know, what they would call Zionism or Jewish nationalism or Bolshevism, communism, Jewish internationalism. It's got the same Bolshevik revolutionary spirit. They're not even two sides of the same coin. It's just a name, a disguise, a cloak that you wear, another excuse, another divide that just confuses you. It's just the same people doing the same long-term strategic planning. Originally, the Rothschild funding, old Trotsky. Remember Leon Bronstein as he came out of New York? I mean, imagine the center of the revolution isn't St. Petersburg, you know? It's New York. That's where they're all coming out from, because they all originally snuck in, starting in 1870. They snuck in over. They went into China under the Karduri, Sassoon, Hadori families, Iraqi Jews, into India as well, that long history of India. Most people don't know about that in China. I didn't know about it till 2005. 13 years ago, and most people still don't know about that. The original founding, Mao, his Jewish-American military intelligence linguist handler, Sidney Rittenberg. But these people, this is a long-term plan, creating Israel, going into Canada, Chicago, New York, post-1917, post-1919, while their brethren, their comrades back in Russia set up the Soviet Empire. They were setting up very subtly and very quietly the long-term sleepers, the 20-year, 40-year, 60-year sleepers that we see emerging now in the United States. And they certainly realized in the Stalin era that they could not take the U.S. head on. It wasn't working. Remember the big fight that's when Lenin died and the fight between Stalin, the Stalinists and the Trotskyites, where Trotsky had to leave in the end, eventually got a nice pick in the head in Mexico. But what originally happened was Trotsky was that internationalist arm. He wanted to go into Europe immediately. Stalin said, no, let's back off and wait. So we see this divide, but it's just the same people doing the same thing. There's not a dime's worth of difference. And we're now seeing the fulfillment of this program. That's why understanding this history, and I'm not an expert, I'm just a guy, I'm an ordinary guy, but I pick things up quick. People send me stuff, I go, oh, that fits with that. Now I understand that. So I'm no expert by any means, but I can string a bunch of dots together and realize the significance. So if people can understand, if we can revive the term communist Soviet era, we'll understand what Putin's doing. You'll understand what his Slavic best friend, the originally Polish Benjamin, not Netanyahu, Benjamin Milikowski, what they're up to, the Belt and Road Initiative involving Israel, Russia, and China. And you'll go, ah, then you hear the rhetoric coming out of Donald Trump about being isolationist, dismantling NATO, withdrawing out of the Middle East, coming home. Well, that is Soviet era dream. That is what Trump and his Israeli first to Sheldon Adelson, they're all descendants of that original subversion of America. Sheldon Adelson and the casino drug money laundering gangs, the New York, New Jersey mob. That's the lineage who backed Trump originally. And that's why I've said there's only one hope, and it's not Hillary Clinton, obviously. Yeah. And I'm pulling it out of my bottom, but there's definite signs that Mattis, General Jim Mattis, now the Secretary of Defense, there's genuine signs that they may be waking up. So we've got to keep a close eye on Mattis and what he's up to.
Right. And as I read here, the sons and daughters of this communist infiltration now all hang with Trump. They're surrounding him. They are the Obama advisors, Rahm Emanuel. His mother was a Mossad agent, and David Axelrod. They totally infect the entire United States government. They infect Wall Street. They infect banking. They infect media, Hollywood. Not all card-carrying communists, obviously, but that is their origins. And they are deeply embedded into Israel, which we know was set up by a socialist Marxist state that was full of Soviet spies and provided a backdoor to the United States from Russia. So go ahead, continue. I wanted to throw that in there, Brendan.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're saying Rahm Emanuel and, say, Axelrod, remember, what we're trying to say is it's both sides of the political spectrum. There's not a dime's worth of difference. Now, Trump may be turning. Alexander Dugin, his little old Soviet Russia friend, is now complaining that Trump's not living up to his original promises because Trump's not running the country. And I'd say, Sheldon Adelson, there's a bit of a tug-of-war, as we know. Remember, the game's chess, not checkers. If I'm correct and others are correct that Mattis is definitely showing the signs of waking up, remember, these people live in bubbles. They don't know everything that's going on. I met people who are like Mattis in high levels of government. They didn't have a clue. They were looking at me like I was a walking god. How do you know all this stuff? It's like, come on. It's on the internet, dude. It's all open source. And you understand, Professor Thomas Barnett, the Pentagon's new map. He's a think tank writer. Professor Thomas Barnett, look it up, the Pentagon's new map. And he came out and said, he called the CIA the puzzle factory. They said, it's a joke. No one takes the CIA seriously, he said. We go to Wall Street, we go to banking. That's where you find out what's happening. He says, I know 5 years before there's ever a discussion paper put on the desk of a CIA analyst what's going to happen, because I go to Wall Street. That's where the action is. That's where the money flows are. That's where the next battle over resources is going to take place. And when you understand these principles, they don't know. And that's why we have to educate them, ring up the Department of Homeland Security, make complaints about Israeli spying, which is on the historical record, which I have personally done and filmed. In the video, Israeli Drones Worldwide, you will see me ringing the Department of Homeland Security. So people need to start doing these basic things. But once you understand the origins of this little conspiracy, this little maneuverings beneath the surface, then you'll start to click what's happening with Trump. And God bless Mattis. We pray that Mattis is waking up. We hope.
Well, yeah, give another overview, if you would, of Rafi Eitan, the top Mossad legendary spy, and let's get into literally what's going on with the Silver Master Group and so forth. Go ahead.
Well, you know, even looking at this stuff, every time I found someone, I thought, I betcha Polish-Russian communists. Oh, and there you go. You do every single person of note involved in high levels of the Israeli government, high levels of its founding, high levels of its industry, its spying apparatus, its high technology sector, every single last one. And good old Rafi Eitan. Now, you don't know this too. Rafi Eitan was also the head of the head of the Israeli Defense Force, a good friend of Benjamin Netanyahu originally. He was also one of the founders of the Talpiot program. But there's another Rafael Eitan, who was born in 1926 in Mandated Palestine. Of course, the son of a Polish-Russian communist, the usual. But he was in high levels of the government and also considered the Mossad master spy. He's the one who originally stole Promise, or as it was known, Inslaw, by, I keep forgetting his name. The American guy he was a Scottish-American guy. Anyway, he wrote the original Inslaw, which linked highly disparate databases used by the prosecutor's office and policing databases. And, of course, Rafi Eitan was the famous guy that walked over there under a false identity and managed to get a copy. That then became Promise, an Israeli blatant theft. They've been doing this from day dot. They're not smart. They're thieves. And I'm not just being nasty. Of course, they have their gifted people, but they are thieves at heart. They're always stealing. You know, as Steve Jobs would say, the head of Apple, what was it, great artists copy? Brilliant artists steal, you know, he used to say. I mean, Apple stole everything. Microsoft stole everything. But it's the same, you know, we notice the same people in the background. But that Promise became, would you believe, Prism. So the masterful linking of all the databases in that giant NSA database became Prism. Guess who wrote it? Israel. It started with Rafi Eitan. And there he is now. He's in Cuba now, retired, the master spy, serving in large-scale agricultural and construction ventures and chemicals in Cuba. He's sitting in Cuba, which is full of Spanish Jews.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, the nice word to use for it is plagiarize. I mean, in the recording industry, they all admit they steal from one another, you know. But in this case, there's much more at stake here. And then we've got the Silver Master Group. And, you know, I mean, I even go back, Brendan, 9/11, when all those Israeli spies were arrested and the five dancing Israelis and so forth, and the dual citizen Israeli Michael Chertoff let them go. And by the way, his mother was a Mossad agent. So if you look at all these
people.
This web of deceit, this inner working of evil, of permeating, you know, blobism, if you will, you know, I mean, it's not hard. Well, it's not easy, but it's not hard to actually disseminate and figure out what this is all about if you decide you want to pay enough attention to dig in and really break it down like you have. The Silver Master Group, a major Soviet espionage organization that operated in the United States government during World War II, it was investigated by the FBI spanning through 1959. You know, expound on that.
1945 to 1959, the FBI investigated. And they were the highest levels of the U.S. government, many originally under Roosevelt.
Right. And it consisted of 27 principal KGB operatives that were gathering information from at least six federal agencies. Now, they operated primarily in the Department of the Treasury, but also had contacts in the Army, the Air Force, and the White House. And 61 of the Verona cables concern the activities of the Silver Master spy ring. So, you know, this is nothing new. This has been going on, as you say, for a long time. You know, I mean, some of the members, you know, off the top of your head, throw some of the members off of this group. Go ahead.
Oh, God, we'll be here for half an hour. People need to understand the Silver Master spy group right in the heart of American politics. And when you understand the depths this went, then you'll get
it. Hold on. I completely missed it. We got to go to a break. Let's expound on that when we get back from the break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my Friday co-host, Brennan O'Connell. Be right back, folks. Stick around. It's going to get good.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to The American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with my special co-host, Friday co-host, Brendan O'Connell, talking about the Silver Master Group right now. Some of the members, I mean, we could go on all day, I know, but, you know, just over the top, Brendan, just go ahead and, you know, shout out a few of them for us.
Oh,
anybody recognizable here? Go ahead.
All right, let's do it. Let's take 5 minutes. Let's just start at this level. So we had Nathan Gregory Silvermaster, Chief Planning Technician, Procurement Division, United States Department of the Treasury, Chief Economist, War Assets Administration, Director of the Labor Division, Farm Security Administration, Board of Economic Warfare, Reconstruction Finance Corporation, Department of Commerce. And before I go on, who was Silvermaster? Silvermaster was born to a Jewish family in, come on, have a guess, Mike, Swaziland?
Ukraine.
Iceland. Oh, well done. Originally Russia, but yeah, now the Ukraine. He was born in Odessa, Russia in 1899. He moved with his family to China, where he learned to speak perfect English with a British accent. He emigrated to the United States and earned his BA from the University of Washington in Seattle, where he was stated to be a known, quote, known communist, and a PhD at the University of California, where his thesis was entitled, this is his thesis, Lenin's Economic Thought Prior to the October Revolution. He became a naturalized American citizen in 1926 and was reported to be in contact with a very large number of the Communist Party in the USA. So that's the head of the Silvermaster spy room, Nathan Gregory Silvermaster. His wife, Helen Silvermaster. This is a good one. Shlomo Adler. All right. Very important to understand. Solly Adler, United States Department of the Treasury, because he pops up with Chairman Mao, handling Chairman Mao when they were setting up China. We have Norman Chandler Bursell, the United States Department of Justice, Antitrust Division. These are all spies. Nearly all of them are Jewish. 80 to 90% identify as Jewish or had Jewish origins. Frank Coe, another important one to understand, Assistant Director, Division of Monterey Research, Monetary Research, Treasury Department, Special Assistant to the United States Ambassador in London, Assistant to the Executive Director, Board of Economic Warfare, Assistant Administrator, Foreign Economic Administration. Next one, Lachlan Curry, Administrative Assistant to President Roosevelt, Deputy Administrator of Foreign Economic Administration, Special Representative to China. Bella Gold, Assistant Head of Program Surveys, on and on and on. Senate Subcommittee on War Mobilization, bloody, bloody, blah. Sonia Steinman Gold. Division of Monetary Research, U.S. Treasury Department, blah, 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 U.S. Employment, Department of Employment and Security, on and on and on. Irving Kaplan, Foreign Funds Control and Division of Monetary Research, United States Department of the Treasury, blah, blah, blah. Also involved with the military government of Germany. Nearly finished. George Silverman, Civilian Chief Production Specialist, Material Division, U.S. Army Air Force, War Department, Pentagon. William Henry Taylor, Assistant Director of the Middle East Division of Monetary Research, United States Department of Treasury. Nearly done. William Ullman, Delegate to United Nations, Charter Meeting and Bretton Woods Conference, Division of Monetary Research. On and on and on and on. Anatoly Volkov. Then the last one, my favorite, or almost my favorite, Harry Dexter White. Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Head of the International Monetary Fund. And that's just a taste of the infiltration of the United States. And when you understand the Silver Master Spy Group, which everyone's forgotten, the Venona spy cables, which were decrypted by British intelligence, which showed there were massive moles at the heads of US, the US establishment and the British establishment, and you begin to understand that Soviet Jewish Talmudic infiltration of the body politic of both these countries, which also includes Israel, and we'll go into the massive infiltration of Israel by the KGB.
Well, and the question I pose here, Brendan, is how in the world did all of these people that were all spies get elevated to such high positions of power? I mean, were they drawn up from members of the group who know other of the group that, and recommended them? You know,
That's how they do it. You get a few in. You just get a few in at the top, and they bring in their own people up. And when your boss is a Jewish banking trillionaire, I've got power. I've got influence. You know, these people are trained for this. They know what they're doing. And once you get in, it's like I used to work at a place called Classic Laboratories, my first job when I got out of school. I was doing fire assay for gold sampling, big furnace work, pouring out those gold samples, you see, you know, from the big furnaces. And most of the staff were Scottish. Now, do the Scots have a predilection for sampling gold samples? Well, no. A few of the key people got in were Scotsmen, and they started importing their friends from overseas. So it became full of, you know, that was fine. I didn't mind, but I'm just saying. See, but you would never say that Scotsmen and women have a predilection for the fire assay gold sampling service, would you? Or that the well-known use of Maoris and New Zealanders in the Australian scaffolding industry, riggers. Heaps of Maoris in that. What, because they have a genetic predetermination? No, a few of their people got in and they get their own people up. That's all it is, and that's how they did it. They had the money and the backing, they the infiltration and the networks, and they simply get their few people in, like a church. They come to the church. I want to help. My name's Sarah Smith. I'm a devout evangelical. They stay behind. They befriend the priest. She might be attractive. Then she's doing the accounts. She's helping. Can I help? I have high qualifications. Oh, wonderful. What a great addition to the church. And pretty soon she's got all the friends in and they take over the church. Now they're hardcore Israeli firsters, evangelicals getting millions of dollars poured into them by Israeli intelligence. And that's how it works.
And that's how it works. So in all of this, you know, people are you know, people in these positions of power that are literally just regular American people, what, they're duped by all of this, or they're sucked into it through you know, false friendliness? Or, I mean, are they turning a blind eye to it? What, you know?
I don't know. They get bribed, blackmailed, but a lot of them just don't know. Oh, this is a nice person, because Americans are nice people at heart. They don't know there's a war on. If you don't know there's a war on, how do you know? I know there's a war on. I know when some guy waltzes up to me, a British 65-year-old guy, "Hey, mate, how you going? I'm a bit lost. I don't have a mobile phone." Well, of course you don't have a mobile phone. Who doesn't have a mobile phone when they travel with maps on? You don't. And then he's inviting me for a beer as I show him where he needed to go. Now, the guy's British intelligence. It's all over Malaysia. I'm not a fool, and I say to British intelligence, please come over and fill my bank account. You don't need to do your intrigue garbage with me, all right? I know what goes on, but before, I didn't know. And I remember all these strange things happening. I thought, that's strange. And then I realized later on, oh, someone said to me, "You're so stupid, man. Don't you understand what that is?" They stalk, coincidence. Oh, I'm into that too. What? That's my interest, because they've got a dossier on you. They know how to tweak your buttons. Oh, you know all about your interest. I'm into astrology and psychotherapy counseling too. Oh, what a coincidence. The attractive woman across the bar. Oh, this is how they do it. If you don't know there's a war on, Mike, and that's our job, to say, hey, America, remember, there's a war on. It didn't end, and we have new players, different faces, but same energy. Vladimir Putin. All right, KGB, that's what he is. He is a KGB spy who happens to be running the country with his friends. They are infiltrating you via Israel, who is full of their friends. They're all friends. And now they've infiltrated your whole country, and they've potentially put a literal Russian Soviet communist spy in the White House. But this is why we hope that Trump, in the end, is so stupid, and he'll follow the money, he'll follow the power. I mean, he has no clue. He's just getting advised by his Jewish-Israeli handlers. We're hoping, and again, but it's got legs. It's definitely got legs that Mattis is in there. The U.S. military is in there, and that's why you see so many things not happening that they want it to happen. Why Alexander Dugin is in Iran complaining that Trump isn't living up to his staff, and the neocons have taken over. Well, I put to you, it's not specifically the neocons. It's a general wake-up. Are we going to say that after all these years the Pentagon hasn't woken up? We've got Dr. Alan Sobrowski, you know, former head of studies, U.S. Army War College, walking around Marine headquarters telling them all Israel did 9/11. We've got Phil Giraldi telling them Israel did 9/11, highly connected, former CIA counterintelligence. Of course people are waking up. and they're scared to lose their mortgages just like everyone else. These people who come to me online with their fake YouTube accounts, with their fake names, demanding this and that, and I say, hey, why don't you give your full name and address and put it online? Then you tell us how you're going to fix things. And, of course, they've got nothing to say. Why? They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to lose their wife, their family, their mortgage. So these people have the same problem. So it's up to individuals, the tips of the spear, you, me, and 10,000 other people who are willing to take a risk, to get out there and inform particularly Americans, the American military, and everyone else. We understand the process. And Americans, you are at war. It is the most intense submarine warfare in history. It's submarine, 90% of it. You have been infiltrated and they are in the final stages. Please wake up, and hopefully, Mike, in this little broadcast, we do our little bit to remind people of the past so they understand the present with the patterns we're showing. The patterns of the past show and explain today and the potential for what's going to happen in the future. And when you understand that, you can then take action.
Okay. All right, we got to take a break. That took that whole segment. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks, with more. Brendan O'Connell, my co-host. So, well, stick around. More to come. We got much more to convey to you. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with my Friday co-host, Brendan O'Connell. And, you know, folks, you should get pen and paper, because the dots that Brendan connects here and the people that we're talking about and the descendants of these people are infiltrating every facet of business. Now, we're going to throw a few more at you. You know, tell us a bit about Solomon Adler there, Brendan. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. I could just touch on something. Ideally, this broadcast will be backed up by a web post in detail. That would be the best thing, of course, and it should be the natural thing. But you're busy, I'm busy, no one's got any money, everybody's stressed out. I have certain worries here to do with my particular circumstance. So people are complaining, well, you should do this. Look, I understand that. And, yeah, I do get pretty narky. People, please understand, we're not sitting here. Mike has to work. I have to beg for donations. And if we're not going to be funded, then we're not going to be relaxed, and we're not going to be able to do everything you want. So if you're not going to assist, well, what do you want me to do? I mean, people are lecturing me on how I should be doing videos, and I've been very narky with people. I said, do you have the faintest idea my situation right now? But I'm just saying, but you are correct. This needs to be followed up with a detailed post, and I'll try to do that. But anyway, getting back to Solomon Adler, one of the Silver Master Spiring, he's very important to understand, because you will see him in pictures with Chairman Mao in 1949. And if you go to Conservapedia and just put in Israel Epstein, Frank Co., you will see, for instance, where is he? You will see, it says here, CCP chairman, that's the Communist Party chairman, Mao Zedong, with Israel Epstein, first left, Anna Louise Strong, third left, Frank Co., second right, and Solomon Adler, first right, all Jews, American Jews, all part of the Silver Master Spy Ring or associated, sitting there with Chairman Mao in 1949. Oh, busy as bees, hug and kiss, old friends. What's going on there? Let's talk about Solomon Adler, Shlomo Adler, Solly Adler. He was born in Britain and became a U.S. citizen in 1936 when he obtained employment in the United States Department of the Treasury. Now, he's another one of these Oxford Cambridge Library tapped on the back Rothschild agents. Right. Adler also was a Soviet spy who supplied information to the Silver Master espionage ring. Adler served in China and shared a house with Chi Chou Ting and China Hand, that's in quotation marks, China Hand, that was his nickname, John Service. From China, Adler sent back reports opposing President Franklin Roosevelt's gold loan program of $200 million to help the nationalist Chinese government. That was Chiang Kai-shek, who was the nationalist government, who was originally being slated with money from the American intelligence to stabilize China and be their man in China, stabilize its currency. So Roosevelt was trying to do the right thing and stabilize it with loans to Chiang Kai-shek. But Mr. Shlomo Adler deliberately sabotaged that. So in 1943, as they tried to stabilize China, the secretary, another part of the Silver Master spy ring, Harry Dexter White and Frank Co., supported this view to destabilize the anti-communist government of Chiang Kai-shek. So a nationalist anti-government government of Chiang Kai-shek was deliberately stopped from winning. Hyperinflation in China amounted to more than 1,000%. Does this sound familiar? America, you might want to watch out. hyperinflation in China amounted to more than 1,000% per year between 1943 and 1945, weakening the standing of the nationalist government domestically in China. This helped the communists eventually to come to power in China, delivering hundreds of millions of people into their hands. Now, that was all members of the Silver Master Spiring. That was Solomon Adler. That's just one little example of that group.
And then as we expound into this further, we got Sidney Rittenberg, who was born in 1921, an American journalist, a scholar, and a Chinese linguist who served in China from 1944 all the way up, folks, to 1980. And he worked closely with Mao Zedong, Zhu Dezhao, In Lai, and other leaders of the Chinese Communist Party during the war, and was with these central communist leaders at Yan'an. He witnessed firsthand much of what occurred at upper levels of the CCP, and he knew many of its leaders personally, and
communist
later he
Party.
Was imprisoned. The Communist Party, okay. So he was later imprisoned in solitary confinement twice for a total of 16 years, and he was the first American citizen to join the Communist Party. Rittenberg's connections and experience have enabled him to run successful consultancy business representing some of the world's biggest brands, folks, such as Intel. Who, by the way, don't they have a office over there in Israel? There, Levi Strauss, Microsoft, who's got one over there in Israel, Hughes Aircraft, and Teledesic. So, you know,
how many people even know this? Even know this, Mike? I first heard about Sidney Rittenberg in 2005. Old Eric Hufschmidt, if you remember, old Eric Hufschmidt.
I saw this in here, and I thought, oh, Eric Hufschmidt, I know him. I had him on my show way back in 2007, and I didn't realize that he wrote an article based on what you sent him.
I used to talk to Eric all the time. It's a shame what transpired between him, Bolin, and, I've forgotten his name.
Was it Mark,
He was over in France, the French Connection. He did a lot of very good stuff. They all did a lot of good stuff, unfortunately. They had that huge falling out. But Eric's a bit quirky and obviously quite quirky, but he originally did some brilliant stuff on 9/11. He was one of the original really good researchers. He used to do a lot of stuff. But in 2005, I'm walking past the television, and I literally heard, a new book has been released, The Man Who Stayed Behind, about an American military intelligence personnel who worked with Mao. And I went, what? And that's when I heard it. So I just Googled his name, Rittenberg, and it all came up. No, there was nothing except a couple of articles. I'm like, what the hell? And Rittenberg is key to understanding. He was an American Jew, military intelligence, and a linguist, and he handled Mao. And there's pictures galore. In fact, they have stripped down the Wikipedia article, and you'll have to go to Eric Hufschmidt's site, hugequestions.com, to find it. Sidney Rittenberg, and there he is with Mao, hanging with Mao. And he now has a huge, he must be nearly dead by now, but he hangs with Kissinger as well. You have Kissinger and Associates, and you have Rittenberg and Associates. And if you want to get into business in China, you go through him. This guy lives in comfort in California. He's responsible in part for the deaths of how many tens of thousands of Marines in Korea. And the man is just casually sitting there in California. And because I promoted him so heavily, I definitely believe they stripped down a lot of information off him because he was scared. That guy is a traitor to America. America is full of these traitors, and being Jewish is incidental. They are traitors, period, including Kissinger, who just happened to send the entire American manufacturing and heavy industry to China. And now we have the same Jews in America, American Jews, who are now sending the entire American high technology industry to Israel, who is now giving it all to China. When is it going to end, Mike? And it's all on the public record. Any half-wit with two brain cells, if you genuinely put in the right direction, can work it out. And we still have an army of ridiculous, retarded morons praising Vladimir Putin when there are thousands of new contracts worth billions of dollars between he and Netanyahu. We have an Israeli foreign minister, now the Secretary of Defense, Avigdor Liebman, who is a Mondovian Russian Empire bouncer, who is now in a higher-level position, who's considered a Russian spy, a KGB spy in Israel, by Israelis who are saying, help us, we have been completely taken over. And people are still praising Putin. Everything you see coming out of Trump's mouth. Oh, let's dismantle NATO. Well, that's a Stalinist-era dream right there, because it's all to do with the pan-Eurasian takeover between Israel, Russia, and China. And guess what they all are?
socialist, Marxist, communist states. That was their founding. And they can wear all the Christian garb they like. They can say we're deeply religious. They can say whatever they like. They are communist era creations. And you're next on the final list, America. I never thought they'd collapse you, but it's possible. They may well collapse America into disaster if you don't act now and pray for Jim Mattis and start lobbying your senators, your congresspeople, your friends in the military. Get down in front of the Marine Corps or Army or Air Force recruiting stations with flyers and T-shirts. And you've got to start doing this grassroots stuff, and you better do it quick. Because this stuff has been going on a long time, and you better ask your alt media guru. Those people making $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a week out of their videos, who are not breathing a word about this. They are not breathing a word. That's the end of my rant.
Well, I wanted to touch on that, Brendan, because you brought a couple of things that I wanted to expound on here a bit. And one of them is, you know, folks, look, you know, I know it's hard to wrap your head around this, but we've both been, Brendan more than myself, Jeremy Roth-Cashel, you know, Greg McGarren, Adam Green, a number of these people have been doing research. I jumped on a bandwagon with this a couple of months ago, and I'm just getting up to speed here, but I'm starting to learn this. And as you all know from listening to me for years on radio as an investigator, I do my best to connect the dots, but these are right jumping out in our face, and the alt media as a whole, and I'm talking about some of the big wigs, you know, that guy over there in Austin, and so forth.
Yeah, not just him, though, not just Alex Jones, bevy of them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I think part, and I don't know whether you'll agree with me or not on this, I think part of the reason why most of them won't touch it is because intellectually they can't grasp it, Brendan, and I think it's up to us to...
You're being very kind. You're being very kind.
I'm trying to be nice. That is my forte. You know? But
well, I'm not...
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's up to somebody to step up to the plate here and try to break it down as cohesively as possible so they get it and the penny drops and they say, oh, yeah, I get it now. Because, you know, we're just a little beacon light out here in the forest, and there's a whole lot of trees out here. So, you know, we've got to get this out here. And, folks, this is why I say you need to take notes on this. Do your own research. Break it down. And, by the way, I wanted to say, you know, you had made a comment earlier on about the fact that you're living on donations, and I have to work. Folks, I took the day off yesterday to do some other business to try to keep this ship afloat. I've got a very positive message. Thank you very much, my producer, Michael. He sent me a message saying there's a couple of checks from advertisers on the way. It takes money to run this. It takes money to keep this information coming, and it's got to come from somewhere. And up to this point, I have been... I've locked my mouth up, and I said I'm not going to take donations from anybody, and I'm not going to beg you, okay? But if you would like to, I've got a donate button on my website. So does Brendan, okay? Send him a check. You know, send me a check if you find it in your heart. We'll be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with my... co-host on Fridays, Brendan O'Connell. Before I get off this topic, I want to kind of stress to you guys and the listening audience, this is serious business. These people play for keeps. We have seen what has happened to different journalists and different reporters, Andrew Breitbart, Gary Webb, Michael Hastings. Okay, they play for keeps, and this is serious information that they don't want you hearing, folks. We're taking a chance when we do this, and we're doing this because we're trying to do the same thing as you are. We're trying to make a better home for our children and grandchildren. And so, yes, I took a day off. I went out and worked. I got email messages from many listeners. Where are you? And it wasn't because, oh, we need to be on the air. No, out of direct concern for me. And by the way, thank you, Mayor Bailey, because I'm going to mention to Brendan Daryl Bradford Smith. Brendan, does that ring a bell?
Yeah, they did some very good stuff for a long time, yeah.
Yeah, I
have their problems. Everyone has their problems. They weren't perfect. No one is. They had good information.
Well, ultimately, you know, all I'm saying is this: is you have a donate button on your website, do you not, Brendan?
No, I have nothing. Nothing worked. Well, the only thing that works. Look, it's a long story, but they've messed with me on multiple ways. The only thing that works is PayPal, which I've now transferred to Malaysia, and my bank account. Before anyone goes, why are his bank accounts working? Because before, even though I've got three warrants for my arrest, it's a big deal to shut someone's bank account down. And you got to understand the three warrants are based on such ridiculous notions. They are so ridiculous.
And I have friends. My case, I can't go into it because I've supplied all the information. Anyone new to this subject and what happened to me in the last 10 years, which is incredible. I mean, it is incredible. I'm not doing that so you can say, oh, I'm so amazing. It's so you understand what the hell's going on. I was talking to top-level people who thought I was a god because I managed to put together some information off the internet. I was panicking. Are these the people protecting us? These people are freaking stupid. I couldn't believe it. And, of course, my mouth, which I can't help myself. Someone in authority, wants to make themselves look fools. I can't help myself. I'll kick them right in the teeth while they're down. Big mistake. And I've been very honest about my behavior. I was a fool the way I behaved. But when you understand that I was the guy who said the emperor has no clothes, I simply got up and in a high-profile case, I had the Israeli state coming against me. I said the key to Israel's success is this domination of technology via projects such as the Telpiot program, all right, which is now starting to get legs. And when you understand it, you understand the history of this spying and this infiltration, the subversion. You understand the communist movement in both Russia, the Ukraine, and Poland, and the Eastern Bloc. When you understand Israel and its founding by the same people, and you understand the infiltration of Canada and the Bronfmans and the Jewish Cosa Nostra, organized crime mafia in New York, Chicago, New Jersey, the mob, the same people that push Donald Trump, his handlers, right? It's the same damn people, exactly. And you understand that pattern. They're in government. They're freaking everywhere. And I said freaking everywhere. And now they dominate the high technology sector. Intel, I mean, did you know the founding of Intel and its number one employee was, oh God, I've forgotten his name. He was a Hungarian Jew, changed his name. He was the head of Intel. What's his name? Famous name. So famous, I can't remember.
Well, they're really good at changing their names. You know, Milosevic changed it to Netanyahu. I used to call him Netanyahu and Beetlebogen, but now I'm going to call him Milosevic. You know? I mean, and it goes on and on. Yeah, Milikowski. I'm sorry. Milosevic. I don't know where I got that. Milikowski, yeah. But they are experts at doing this, you know? And let's go into the Sassoon family, known as the Rothschilds of the East. Due to the great wealth they accumulate in trade, it's of Baghdadi Jewish descent and international renown. It was based in Baghdad, Iraq, before moving to Bombay, India, and then spreading to China and England and other countries. And it is said that the family descended from the Shoshans, one of the families of Iberian Peninsula from the 18th century. And the Sassoons were one of the wealthiest families in the world, with a merchant empire spanning the continent of Asia. Now, folks, look.
Isn't that ringing a few bells in a few people's heads if you understand the Belt and Road Initiative? Israel, Russia, and China? Hello? Ding, ding, ding. Sorry, Mike, go on.
Well, Brendan sent me a little clip. It says, we can clearly show these three monsters teaming up to run the Belt and Road Initiative, the Pan-Eurasian juggernaut, are all Jewish founding colonies of modern commerce. And these same people that penetrate and run those countries now run the United States. Specifically, they spy for Russia and the Soviet Union. And there's tons of articles that you can sift through from Jerry Rothschild to get a sense of how big these Israel-Russian spyings both were and are, because it's been going on for years, folks. And the reason the FBI is coming down hard on Trump and his close associations with Russian Israeli Jewish gangsters. Now, you know, I can't emphasize enough. We're just these little beams of light here. I picked up on this. I jumped on the bandwagon. I pulled on Brendan's coattails, got him to crawl out from under the bed in Malaysia and say, hey, guess what? We've got a voice. We've got an audience. We've got a platform. Let's get this out here. And it's not just to you folks out there that should be taking copious notes, but it's also to all of these talk show hosts out here, nationwide or worldwide for that matter, that if we could get these guys to understand or, you know, grow a set, if you will, and start talking about this entire curtain's going to come down. Would you agree, Brendan?
Absolutely. Look, I'll give you more. We'll go back into the Sassoons, the Hadoris, and the Rothschilds of the East. This is a quote from Anatoly Golitsyn, and you must understand who Anatoly Golitsyn was and his book, New Lies for Old. He warned in the 80s. I'm warning you now. He said they're going to collapse the Soviet Union. They're going to collapse the whole system and say, we're new. We're wonderful, man. We're all new. We're all Christians. He said they'd do it. And he said, look out, because it's going to be a new cloak. It's going to be in camouflage. It's going to come right back at you via subversion. They can't take you on head on. Watch. Everything he wrote has come true. Anatoly Golitsyn. Now, some people said there were some queries about him. I understand that. But if the guy is telling you an 80% to a T is coming true, then clearly he's not quite the, I don't know where the right hook's coming. He looks pretty accurate to me. But just this quote in terms of China, listen to this and Israel, and particularly Israel's role in thieving technology, and then passing it on to Iran, China, and Russia, all part of the One Belt, One Road project. All right, now listen to this quote. Page 362, Anatoly Golitsyn, New Lies for Old. Quote, he's got, and just before we go on, he's going to talk about Andropov. Andropov is the master spy. He was a short time the premier of the Soviet Union, but he is, Putin is his protege. Putin and that whole clique that Putin represents are all Andropov's men. Andropov's mother was Jewish. Whether that's incidental or significant, we don't know, but an awful lot of them. And remember, St. Petersburg is the home of the Bolshevik Revolution, where Putin is based. But listen to this quote, and you'll understand the role of China and Israel, particularly Israel. Andropov's proposals about improving relations with China are not aimed at undermining China's relations with the United States, but at stimulating a revival of an American interest in closer relations with China, which are presently perceived as weakened after the departure of such strong proponents of United States-Chinese military cooperation as Brzezinski and others. Its main purpose is to facilitate the acquisition by China of American weaponry and medical and military technology. I'll do that quote again. Brzezinski's important. He wrote the Grand Chessboard, which led up to 9/11. But listen to this, the last line. Its main purpose is to facilitate the acquisition by China of American weaponry and military technology. Now, understand how the pullback was happening in the United States, all right? They were exposing all these quote-unquote leftists, and these Jewish leftists were exposing Israel for the racist apartheid state it was and all their filth and depravity. They were being exposed. America was shrinking away. They were losing support. Europe was telling them to go to hell. Europe had had enough of them, and I just did a post showing clearly Netanyahu is threatening Europe directly right now. You abandon us, you better look out. He's literally using that language. So when you understand that we're now, by Russia stepping in, Israel is attempting to stimulate, Russia's attempting to stimulate re-engagement of the United States with Israel so that Russia can keep getting the technology, the weapons technology, and the military technology. Let me read this again so people understand. This is, you understand today by looking at the past. So here's Golitsyn quoting again. Andropov is the head of communist intelligence, Soviet intelligence. Listen, Andropov's proposals about improving relations with China are not aimed at undermining China's relations with the United States. Okay, so what he's saying is, he's saying the Soviet Union wants good relations with China, and he's saying it's not because he wants good relations with China, he's trying to get Americans to re-engage with China out of fear, so then China will get all the technology and pass it to them. That's what he's saying. But it's stimulating a revival of an American interest in closer relations with China, which are presently perceived as weakened after the departure of such strong proponents of United States-Chinese military cooperation as Brzezinski and others. Its main purpose is to facilitate the acquisition by China of American weaponry and military technology. That is a golden quote. So you can understand what is happening today in the Middle East. You can understand Syria. You can get a whole new narrative going. You're going to go, by understanding the past, understand the Belt and Road Initiative, the Pan-Eurasian unity with Israel at the lead, demanding, sucking. I mean, you hear that sucking sound, people? Remember Ross Perot, the sucking sound? That's now not manufacturing, right, and heavy industry. That's now your high technology sector. And after that, guys, I'm not sure what America does for a living. I'm not sure because, you know what? All the armaments are being built in Israel too and Russia. What do they need you for? So you better watch out, and you better get moving, and you better understand the past so you can understand the present and your potential future. And then you can act. This is gold leverage. General Jim Mattis, the real president of the United States, God bless him, I pray I'm right. And people are starting to agree, yeah, you're definitely right. We're looking up. There's definite changes happening. He said, Russia and China are our enemies. We better get on the move. We better wake up. That's from Mattis. And now what do we see? We see Netanyahu running across to China going, oh, I want to team up with you. We've got all this technology. That's gold. That's why you leverage American patriots away from Israel. You leverage the evangelical Christians away from Israel. We start going to those evangelicals. You are traitors to the United States. You are traitors to the United States. These people are not religious. They are Soviet-era Marxist, socialist traitors. Don't you get it?
All right, we got to take a break here. Absorb that one for a couple of minutes, folks, and we'll be back at the top of the hour. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening with my Friday co-host, Brendan O'Connell. I'll be right back.
Live from the Valley of the Sun, bringing you real, hard-hitting news and views that will shock the political clowns and spin your head around. Here's Michael Herzog with The American Awakening.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of The American Awakening with my co-host, Brendan O'Connell. We got a few minutes here before I welcome my affiliate back, and I don't want them to miss anything. So I wanted to kind of reiterate a little bit. You folks, you heard this new commercial that just came up from SimplyCleanFoods.net, which I'm going to try to get them up next week. I just sent a message to my producer. I'd like to interview these people. They have a fascinating products. And remember, this is what's making this work. Don Wiskin with Extendivite, SimplyCleanFoods. These commercials that are coming up on here, we're doing the best we can to fund this network and not have to really, you know, take any donations for the business end of this. However, as far as the personal end of it is concerned, and, you know, again, if you value this information, folks, and you wish to make a donation just because you feel like you've been awakened a little bit further, we will accept it. I'm not going to beg for it. I'm not going to ask you for donations, but I'm going to say if you have the kindness of your heart to do so. And if you want to make a donation and you say, well, this is for the benefit of Brendan O'Connell, please put it in there and I will make sure that he gets it. Because, look, this is information and research that is being done on a very, very, very deep level. And it's information that you know, allows you to turn the spotlight on what's happening here. And once you're educated, you realize you can start seeing things that are happening around that you didn't see before because they try to fly under the radar. Do you want to comment on that, Brendan?
Yeah, people need to understand the money is in Putin and Iran. When I was doing that, I was making $500 a week. You know how much $500 a week is in Malaysia? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's about $2,000 a week. Yeah, in the United States.
It's about the equivalent roughly of $1,500 a week. All right? When I told certain people, I have to go after Putin and I have to go, I can't ignore it any longer. I just cannot. And they were screaming, if you go after Putin, you know, no one's going to send you any money. And I said, well, it would seem I know who you are now. And I did it anyway. And it went literally overnight, $500 a week to 50. And now it went as low as 25 when you add it all up. I go months with nothing. And if it wasn't for friends, personal friends who were helping me out, I'm just trying to get across to people. Do you understand how the situation develops where they get control simply by money and your little Patreon account and the people? If you don't do the subjects they like, and if you start going off track and saying, you know, O'Connell's got a point about that high technology sector in Israel. He's got a point about Putin and all these contracts. Yeah, he's got a point. I might have to do something. So suddenly you do an initial article. Next minute, one of your $1,000 donors who every now and again gives you $1,000 US. Oh, I don't know about that, O'Connell. He's a little bit crazy, don't you think? But yeah, it could be. They don't tell you directly. They handle you. And they go, you could be onto something. But look at O'Connell. It's not working out well for him. Why don't you take a different tack, a smart tack? Be tactical. Just ignore that for now and come in on this angle. And look, here's another $500. And pretty soon, Pavlov's dog, ring the bell, get a biscuit. You've convinced yourself that maybe that's right and you'll come at it from that angle, convincing yourself you're acting independently, and you're not. Some people just outright full of money. I didn't even realize people were accepting. Remember, I was offline for years. They banned me from the internet. And when I came back on, people were going, where's your donate button? I said, what do you mean donate button? What do you need a donate button for? I'm on the dole. I can live on the dole, and I'm heading back to uni. I don't need it. I didn't even occur to me. And there's Bob Smith saying, hi, I'm Bob Smith. I do analysis. He copy and paste stuff and reads off a cube on his internet channel, on his YouTube channel, and he's begging for donations. Who the hell are these people?
I got to stop you. We got to go to a break, 1 minute break, and I'll be back and welcome my affiliate, and then we'll move forward with this, folks. So stick around, be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back, and we welcome those listeners at WXEI 95.3 FM in Crestview, Florida. We kind of took a break there and didn't move forward until you guys got back, because we're thinking of you there. Now, I want to put a shout out again, theamericanawakening.org, folks. And if you choose, if you feel that the information that's being put out is helping you and you want to make a donation to either myself, or if you want to put in there that this is for Brendan O'Connell, please do. I will make sure that it gets to him through PayPal. So with that, where were we before we went to the top of the hour break regarding these people, Brendan?
We're going to get back onto China, the founding of China, the whole Silver Master Spiring, understanding the past so we can predict the future.
Yes.
And one of the things we're going to go into was the Rothschilds of the East, China in 1870 on. And once you understand that background of China, most people, the vast majority of people, have no idea. You'll start to click together this Belt and Road Initiative is an old Stalinist Soviet era dream, the dismantling of NATO so that you now see Putin intimidating all of Europe now. You now see Israel intimidating with Benjamin Netanyahu directly threatening Europe with jihadi attacks, the collapse of their economy, and telling them you won't get a taste of our technology, which they've stolen directly out of the United States. He is so arrogant, one has to wonder what he has at his disposal. We really do, but we're starting to see, and it could be a dog whistle, it could be a distraction, it could be to placate people like us who are generally on the ball. Maybe Mattis is working for them and he's just given us a dog whistle telling a few Israeli companies are too close to Russia. But I don't believe that, not at this stage. And I believe there is a movement happening and they are getting hold of Trump and his advisors. Remember, the entire American establishment, the body politic, does not have a tick in it. People use this parasite sucking dry, putting in a Lyme disease into the body politic of America. It's not a tick. It's not a parasite in that sense. It's medical nanotechnology. They have inserted into the body politic of America and others around the world nanotechnology that is embedded in the very flesh of the body. And that is going to have to be extricated very carefully. Very carefully.
Are you speaking metaphorically or are you speaking actually?
Metaphorically. Well, they might say literally too, but I'm talking metaphorically at this stage. It's not a simple thing. There's the tick. I pour some kerosene on it and wiggle it out and I'm done. It's embedded into the body politic flesh of America, and it's going to have to be extricated very slowly. Outside the world of internet commentary, outside the world of Bill Smith making a comment on my channel or your website or whatever, outside the easy world of the armchair generals, where your ass is hanging in the breeze as mine has been. I've got a good taste of that. And I've done the same thing. Start telling people you should be doing this, you should be doing that. When you're at the level that a Mattis is at, these things have to be done rather slowly and carefully because bad things might happen. You know, all the electricity grid goes off or whatever, a whole range of things. So let's see, the positive signs are definitely there. Let's see if they continue. We need to keep the pressure on by reaching out to new audiences and hitting the streets with this information under the guise, under the channel, the advertising and marketing direction of a national security issue based on exposing Israel, Russia, and China, the Belt and Road Initiative, as a Stalinist-era communist dream being fulfilled to this day. In simple language, and the best way is simply to say, General Mattis, retired Secretary of Defense, is saying the official policy of the Trump administration is that Russia and China are direct military and economic competitors of the United States. And you can show clearly with photographs and articles, you name it, with a simple Google search, that Benjamin Netanyahu is bragging that he is teaming up with China and will lead the Belt and Road Initiative from the technology point of view, the cybersecurity, the smart cities program. And there's a lot of Sunni Muslims when they find out where they're putting the new smart cities, particularly right here in Malaysia, Johor, Forest City. Malaysia is leading this, and I'm sitting in the middle of it, a little worried about it. China's building it. Guess who's supplying the technology? Israel. Do you realize the implications for Sunni Muslims? They're going to have a fit. They're going to have a fit.
Yeah.
How many of the political elite are compromised here in Malaysia? How many of the political elite, Saudi, Afghanistan, Pakistan, they're all having projects done in the One Belt, One Road project. And we've got to tell them, guess what? It's not quote-unquote Jew money, as one Pakistani said to me. We'll take Jew money from Rothschild, fair enough, but we will not take Israel. And when they find out, that's the end of the One Belt, One Road project.
No, Brendan, they're going to great lengths, propagandically speaking, in the mainstream media, to keep this issue away from the American people. Because on the one hand, you hear coming out of mainstream, Russia, China is our enemy, but Israel is our greatest ally. But on the other hand, Israel is laughing at us, and they are giving this technology and signing these contracts with Russia and China and so forth, and they're laughing in the face of Americans. They are insulting our intelligence, Brendan.
Yes.
And this is why we keep coming out here, banging in the drums, and insisting you folks take notes on this. Tell your neighbors. Bring them in. Let them listen. Okay? Call your favorite talk show host. Let them know to get Brendan up on the air. Let them know to get me up on the air. I'm nowhere near as up to speed as Brendan is, but I can certainly give an overview of what's going on here. This is real. This is a war, and this is something that we are on the precipice of a collapse if we do not oust this predatory, monster, if you will, Brendan. I don't know of any more serious issue that we can speak about. Nothing.
This is the issue. Everyone could abandon their little pet projects and just focus on this. We will end it rather quickly, certainly this phase of the war, this battle. But, people have gone, that's not my thing. You better make it your thing. I mean, we have, stuff from the Executive Intelligence Review. LaRoche did some really good stuff before he went to jail, and now he's clearly compromised. But before that, he did some pretty good stuff there. I mean, suspected Soviet cell wrote Reagan's long-term strategy by Jeffrey Steinbeck. So here we have Jews, American Jews, patriots, patriots of conscience, Jews here. In 1988, telling us that the suspected Soviet cell being investigated by the FBI, right, is writing Reagan's long-term strategy to do with the Soviet Union, allowing Gorbachev to come in. Gorbachev was more popular than American politicians. It's the same with Putin. It's the same crew doing the same thing all over again. America bad, Russia good. America bad, Iran good. America bad, Israel wonderful. So wait for all these wonderful medical nanotechnology and free energy machines and all this stuff to come out of Israel. Israel a blessing to the nations. That's Soviet-era stuff, people. When you think Israel, think Soviet Union. Think Stalin. You really do. And, this stuff has been on the record for a long time. The usual suspects, Douglas Fief, Richard Pearl, the Crystals, what's his name from the Center for Policy Review, Frank Gaffney. I mean, these people have been around a long time. And they've been investigated time and time again, and it's always diverted.
How do they do that? Who puts the kibosh to these investigations, Brendan?
Example, Dave Frasca, head of the Muslim Fundamentalist Unit of the FBI. There were 5 separate investigations into Muhammad Atta and very suspicious Muslims learning to fly in Venice, Florida. And Daniel Hopsicker of madcowprod.com. That's madcowprod.com, or is it Mad Cow Productions? Forgive me, but Daniel Hopsicker, you'll find it. He's some of the best stuff originally on this, way back in 2002, Muhammad Atta and the Venice Flying Circus. But Dave Frasca is named, he's the head of the Muslim Fundamentalist Unit. And you saw those FBI agents come out and say, we're sorry, we did our best, we knew what was coming, we went to our superiors, we gave them the briefings, and they all quashed it. It was one guy. It wasn't the FBI. It was Dave Frasca working as a parasite, and I'd really like to look at his background, exactly where he comes from, exactly who he answers to, as one of that private intelligence network working towards these Israeli firsters, infiltrating CIA, FBI, Army intelligence, all these places, United States Marine Corps. So we've got to get careful, and we better watch very closely, but do you understand? I say to people, it's not the FBI doing this. The FBI is trying to corner the Trump administration and his little Israeli firster handlers to tell them, because they're all corrupt. Oh, they're all corrupt, all of them. But they are at least patriots saying, they are panicking. The FBI and the CIA are spot on. There is a problem, not necessarily with Trump, because Trump will go where the power is. He has no great love for Israel, really, deep down. Come on, please. He goes where the power is. So with that in mind, the FBI can, what they're trying to do is warn the little weasels, the little medical, the Israeli nanotechnology, the Sheldon Adelsons, the entire upper echelons of the supporters of Trump, all Israeli firsters, all of them. There's not one that isn't a hardcore adherent and friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. It's a warning. Get the hell out or else. There's a showdown coming. All right. And Trump had better wake up too. He can't just be an idiot actor, World Wrestling Federation fool the rest of his life. He may be smart and he's cunning, but he's not business smart. If he was business smart, he wouldn't have had collapsed 6 times and have to be rescued from these banking, Chinese banks and Jewish banks in Israel, would he?
Well, that's what got him in the midst of it to begin with, is associating, allowing these people to bail him out. And now his, you know, his whole family is Jewish and he's surrounded by him. He's in this little bubble. But when you mentioned Dave Fresca, the name John O'Neill came up. Do you remember him?
Yes. Died FBI in the World Trade Center.
Didn't he leave the FBI, got a job in the World Trade Center, and died a week later when the buildings collapsed?
Security.
He had the goods on him, and I believe he was going to expose it, and they took him out. But yeah, this stuff is deep. And by the way, I meant to mention to you, as I'm looking at my screen here, you've sent me just a menagerie of articles that I've been trying to pull up to take a look at. And every time I click on one right now, Brendan, it's saying, hold on a minute, let me try one. It says, this site can't provide a secure connection. The LaRouchePub.com uses an unsupported protocol. So
No. That's you're being, there's a man in the middle attack. Someone's intercepting your communications.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just wanted to give you a heads up on that because I've got a menagerie of these things here that I wanted to touch on and I can't even get to. So obviously somebody's playing with us again. But I'll tell you what, folks.
I mean, sometimes it can be a glitch, but I don't have that problem. But oftentimes what it means is the connection is being interfered with. It can tell by certain ways that TCP, the transmission protocol, works, that it can actually tell that there's it's going somewhere and then being retransmitted.
Okay, we got to go to a break. Well, we got to go to a break. We'll be back in three. Hold on.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with my co-host on Fridays, Brendan O'Connell. Now, I just walked in, I just sat back down after running to the refrigerator for some water, and I put my headset on, and I heard the tail end of another commercial that's up there, AmericanSurvival.com. And I wanted to mention, folks, again, go to theAmericanAwakening.org. These people are advertising with me because they believe in my network, and they also provide a product. Go in and take a look at what they offer. My producer has sifted through these people and brought up high-quality products for you guys to go take a look at theAmericanAwakening.org and purchase. And by the way, I want to thank everybody because when I had Don Wiskin on a week ago Wednesday, you guys bought a lot of product. And you won't be sorry that you did because it's a fantastic product. And along with these other ones that are up, Clower's Creations, I'm going to have her up next week. Simply Clean Foods, I'm going to have them up hopefully next week and let them share their story with the products that they provide. So this is how we grow, folks. We do a good thing for our sponsors. Our sponsors do a good thing for us, and it keeps us from having to ask you for revenue to maintain the business end of this. Now, I do want to mention, though, if you want to make a private donation, whether it is to my work or to Brendan and his little peril over there, which I have to insist that he is in peril, then I will make sure that any donation that you provide for Brendan will get to him. With that, let's get back to Brendan. Okay, Brendan, these articles that I'm pressing on, somebody's interfering with. Now, I'm going to scroll down here just for kicks to see if I can click on another one to see if I'm getting the same thing from all of them. And if I am, then, there we go. Let's see. 1990s manifesto outlining Russians' plans is starting to come true, Brendan. This is out of news.com.au. That's out of Australia, right? Isn't it interesting Brendan, that you don't see any of this in mainstream, you know, American newspapers or on TV, but you see this spread all over the Middle East and down in Australia and over in Malaysia? I mean, this is not secret. This is wide out in the open, and it just shows you how dumbed down this particular media in the United States has people. Go ahead, expound on that.
Well, they're not dumbed down. They're intelligence controlled. But look, on that note, that's explaining Alexander Dugin. And you know, it was Nick Spiro. You know, I'm definitely an early adopter, but I'm in the low-end, late-early adopters. We need to stay focused, but just very briefly, there's stuff online with 5,000 views that's been up for 10 years. You've never heard of them. These people are doing lectures, giving the most incredible information, and it's got 5,000 views in 10 years, less, 1,000 views, 2,000. It's incredible stuff, and they need to be promoted, and eventually if we ever get organized, they will be. But by looking at the past, we're reminded of the future. We have a whole new generation, Mike, of 20-somethings don't have a damn clue. They don't even know who Eustace Mullins is or Ezra Pound. They don't know who Elizabeth Dilling is. They don't know a whole broad spectrum of people who are you know, and they're hoping for some sort of generational gap to develop. We have to remind them of this past. But if we look on the Executive Intelligence Review and Lyndon LaRoche, who did this fantastic work, listen to this. This is one of the articles that Jeremy sent and Joseph from jdavismemphis.com. The Israeli spy network that Jonathan Pollard left behind, just bear with me. When Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu demanded that President Bill Clinton release imprisoned Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard before signing an agreement with the Palestinians, he had several objectives in mind. For one, Netanyahu wanted to pin the blame for the hoped-for summit failure on Clinton by making an impossible demand. But also, blowing up the summit was not Netanyahu's only objective. He also wanted to... This is clear. Remember, Jonathan Pollard was huge. Just one guy. But here's what the Executive Intelligence Review of Lyndon LaRoche is saying. This is 1998. But blowing up the summit was not Netanyahu's only objective. He also wanted to reassure the vast number of other Pollards operating within all levels of the U.S. government's bureaucracy that they won't be abandoned, as Pollard appears to have been, if they are caught. In fact, the spy ring that placed Pollard in U.S. Navy intelligence has never been apprehended and is one of Israel's most precious, quote, crown jewels. And what does it say? Pollard wasn't a mole, but molehills. He was one of many. And let me now quickly read the list that they go into. It's going to be a list, you know. The X Committee, they're saying the X Committee are the people that put Pollard and a whole range of them. Right, so looking back to the Silver Master spy ring, this has happened before, and here's the list of people, you're going to know these names, that are suspected, and this is information from the American intelligence agencies, the same one that Trump wants to dismantle, the CIA and the FBI, who are on to Israel. Are you starting to see the CIA and the FBI in a different light, that they're actually trying to stop something? Hence why Trump's Sheldon Adelson, Israeli First crew are desperately trying to discredit them with Alex Jones. Alex Jones, better watch out, man. He is so headed for jail. Let me give you the list. The ex-committee that put Jonathan Pollard, the Israeli spy, put all those molds into the upper echelons of intelligence and the U.S. government. Here is this list, quote unquote. Oh, would you believe it? Richard Perle. Who would have thought? Stephen D. Bryan, currently the director of JINSA, along with his wife, Shoshana Bryan, frequently co-authors articles with the Ledeem attacking Clinton trade policies. Yosef Bodansky, currently the staff director, this is 1998, currently the staff director of the House Republican Task Force on Terrorism. Oop, next one. We have Frank Gaffney Jr., the Center for Policy Review, absolute Islamist, foaming at the mouth, Islam's taking over, idiot. Douglas Fife, oh my goodness, fancy that, Douglas Fife. John F. Lehman, Secretary of the Navy from 1981 through 1987. Lehman is currently touted as a National Security Advisor, a Defense Secretary in a Bush administration, a relative of the late Princess Grace of Monaco. That's interesting. Oh, well, I'll be damned. Paul Wolfowitz, currently Ambassador to Indonesia. Wolfowitz has been Wolfsled a student at the University of Chicago. Oh, the University of Chicago, a little hotbed of Soviet activity, communist activity. The same people that sent the U.S. industry overseas, your heavy industry and your manufacturing, the same people that are now sending your high technology to Israel. Oh, fancy that. Wolfowitz's first government post was a special of Francis to Fred Eich. Oh, we can go on and on. Let's keep going. Oh, God. Mir Amit, Yuval Newman, Minister for Science and Development. These were their contacts in Israel. Mir Amit, the former director of both the Mossad and Israeli military intelligence. Yuval Newman. Now, just before we go on, the Bird Foundation is an intergovernment... Sorry, it's just a bit broken up. Apologize. It's called the Binational Industrial Research and Development, and we must finish on that legislation, Mike. So you tell me when I have to shut up. We're going to move to the legislation that Diane sent me binding the U.S. and Israel, because this ties in with this. Listen to this. The agency which planted, protected, and paid Pollard is the Israeli U.S. This is fantastic. This is gold, people. The Israeli U.S. Binational Industrial Research and Development Foundation, or BIRD, BIRD, an intergovernment organization which acts as a channel between the U.S. Treasury and State Department and the Israeli Defense Ministry and Mossad,
The organization is a product of Henry Kissinger's tenure at the State Department and one of dozens which have been used to run joint U.S.-Israeli covert operations of the sort typified by the Iran-Contra sales. Key bird activists include Mir Amit, the former director of both the Mossad and Israeli military intelligence, Yulval Neiman, Minister of Science and Development, the former director of military intelligence and father of the Israeli nuclear bomb, Dan Tolkalski, former chief of the Israeli Air Force and founder of one of Israel's top arms smuggling firms, Elron Elbit Systems. This will tie in like you wouldn't believe. Itzhak Yochov, former chief scientist of the Israeli Defense Ministry, founder of Bird, and currently U.S. station chief for the Defense Ministry's intelligence agency, LEKEM. Rafi Itan. That's not the Rafi Itan top Mossad spy. That's the former head. Oh, that is Rafi Itan, sorry. He was Pollard's taskmaster and handler, the infamous Rafi Itan, now sitting in Cuba with his chemical and in agricultural businesses.
All right, let me cut you off. Hold on, hold that thought. We got to go to a break. When we get back, I want to point out a few of these people that you named off and some other interesting connections that they have, folks. So we're going to a break with Brendan O'Connell. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. We're going to power you with some more stuff.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to The American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back with my co-host, Brendan O'Connell. Simply Clean Foods, no GMOs. I was just reporting on that the other day. I can't wait to have those people up on my air on the air. And I promise you, I'm going to buy some of that because I'm taking a real deep look at the grocery store of everything I buy now. And a lot of times I'm walking out with nothing in my shopping cart. That said, I wanted to mention one quick thing. These spies that Brendan are naming off right now, three of them come to mind right off the top of my head. If you still don't think Israel did 9/11, Richard Pearl, Doug Fife, and Paul Wolfowitz are all signatories on the PNAC documents. And I might direct you to specifically page 52, paragraph 1. The change is likely to be a long one, save a cataclysmic and catastrophic event like a new
Brzezinski.
Pearl Harbor.
Yes. Brzezinski, the grand chessboard, America's geostrategic primacy role in the... Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, Brendan. You got the floor.
Start connecting the dots. We're nearly finished. Harold Katz, counsel of the Israeli Defense Ministry. These are the people who are handling the go-betweens between Israel and America. These are all Israeli intelligence, military intelligence. Pollard was paid for his espionage, or Dr. Jordan Baruch, former assistant secretary at the U.S. Commerce Department. See the linkages? It's like the Silver Master spying. It is the Silver Master spying. This is the Venona cables. This is infiltration of British and American intelligence and the establishment, the political establishment, the business establishment, the education establishment. Pollard was paid for his espionage by Byrd's counsel, Harold Katz. He was tasked by the Israeli Defense Ministry's intelligence agency, LEKEM, whose U.S. station chief is Yitzhak Yakov. Pollard was protected by a network within the U.S. Justice Department, including former Criminal Division Director William F. Weld and the former Deputy Attorney General Arnold I. Burns, who are both linked to Byrd. The Byrd Foundation was established by treaty arrangement between the United States and Israel in 1977, based on discussions held in 1977 when Kissinger was Secretary of State. Its sister organization, the Binational Agricultural Research and Development Foundation, or BARD, was formed the same year. Now, we could go on and on and on, and thank you, Jeremy Rothkirchshell, for sending this. That's Jeremy Rothkirchshell and Greg McCarron of The Antidote. They do the Noam Chomsky trio teasers. I do the clown work. When you understand this stuff and you can trace this back to the Silver Master spying, and you can trace it back and back, and the infiltration, the setting up of the racist Marxist socialist state of Israel originally, then the thin veneer of religion put over the top to con the Christian evangelicals and make it a biblical reawakening, when it is a Soviet era strategic planning operation, when it is communism, people, remember that word, remember that C word, that bad C word, it's called communism, which is what? Jewish Talmudic supremacism, destined to remove totally all private ownership of land and property and place it under control of who? Our masters, that quote-unquote, there be those that say they are Jews, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. And just remember, the same people who are doing it are people warning us from the system, warning us. American Jews of conscience are warning us. So please, if we can link this all back and move on to now,
the material Diane sent me to do with how America is legislated to protect Israel. You are joined at the hip. It will all make perfect sense. Shouldn't we move on?
Absolutely. I was going to read a little quote, but you can have the floor.
No, you go. You read that quote. That's what I'm asking you.
You sent me something. You know, just to put the icing on the cake, you know, it should be clear, folks, from the above, that there's a pattern here. We have a theme of people coming from the same place at the same time. They took over Russia. They took over Palestine. They took over the United States. They're taking over China. They're making Jerusalem and Greater Israel the center of the current China-led BRI, the Pan-Eurasian Soviet Era Communist Plan. And part of that plan is destroying NATO, which Trump suggested people do, make the U.S. shrink back, become isolationists, and do and what to do? What do we have Trump doing or saying? We have Putin's best friend Alexander Dugin writing this way back in 1992.
Yeah.
Oh,
and what
my
did he
God.
Say? Let's quickly quote that. This is a quote from that Australian newspaper article. But perhaps most amazing, this is talking about Dugin's book from 98. He first postulated it in 92 at the collapse of the Soviet Union, and then he had it in a book form by 1998. This is what they said last year in an Australian news article. Perhaps most amazing part of the book is when it calls for Russia to, quote, introduce geopolitical disorder into internal American activity, encouraging all kinds of separatism, and ethnic, social, and racial conflicts, actively supporting all dissident movements, extremist, racist, and sectarian groups, thus destabilizing internal political processes in the US. It would also make sense simultaneously to support isolation tendencies in American politics. End quote. The newspaper article goes on, if that reads like an accurate description of Trump's inner circle, again, remember that this text was written 20 years ago. So when you see Dugin now in Iran with Phil Giraldi, which is very disappointing, and a few others, but maybe Phil's just sniffing around as part of his, you know, once CIA counterintelligence, always CIA counterintelligence, we find Alexander Dugin complaining that Trump has not lived up to his things, and they're all very upset. And I hope that's because Jim Mattis has stepped in. But remember, one of Dugin's biggest fans is Richard Spencer, the head of the Racist National Policy Institute and the man who popularized the term alt-right. Dugin's work has been published on Spencer's forum, and on it goes. The white nationalist movement, the whole white nationalist movement is caught up in this, and they're all pro-Putin. We love Putin. Look at Dr. David Chuk. He just can't get enough. One minute he says, oh, something's wrong. The next, no, we love Putin. The whole thing, they've infiltrated everything. Everything. And now we see Charlottesville. They want to now do another Charlottesville with good old Richard Spencer, Alexander Dugin's right-hand man. The man is a traitor who should be arrested and his head shoved into the pavement and ground off to Riker Island. That's where he should go. The man who plagiarized the term alt-right, the founder of it, Richard Spencer, is a Soviet agent. That's what he is. And now they want to do the Charlottesville March and alt-right white nationalist Charlottesville March in Washington, D.C. They're organizing an Yeah. And isolationist tendencies from Trump. What did he do? We're pulling out of the UN Human Rights Commission. And guess what? Putin said, hey, we'll take over. I mean, he's just staring people in the face. Mattis better just start. He better just, or else I'll drop him too, because there are very positive signs, but we need to move quickly. We need to think carefully. Yes, the game is chess, not checkers. It is operating on multiple levels, so we've got to be cautious. But there's only a short time period. So it's really important that other people of this alt-media group start pushing this same narrative, which is not my opinion. We're simply regurgitating facts and figures from the past to understand the present. And, you know, people like Cynthia McKinney, one of my heroes, was she full-blown commie these days, still supporting BRICS led by Israel, still supporting Russia and China and damn America when Israel is leading it?
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up, because look around, folks. Look around, okay? Because what Brendan just brought up, you know, the most amazing part of the book is calling for Russia to introduce geopolitical disorder into internal American activity, encouraging all kinds of separation, ethnic, social separation, racial conflicts. Look around. Black Lives Matter. I mean, come on. You know, this is happening right in front of people walking around.
Oh, the transgender, all the stuff about the transgender toilets. That's all Soviet propaganda. It's not real. They're just pushing it to foment this alt-right movement who's all pro-Russia. All right, so they're playing both sides. These crazy leftists are really agents for this old Soviet-era Israel-Russia program. And that's what Alex Jones is. And Alex Jones is going to jail for life if he doesn't start pushing this. He has no choice but to push it. You said his numbers are dropping, man, and he needs to realize, man, I don't care what they got on him. He needs to make a choice. I don't care what they have on him, his activities in his past. I don't care whether he's tapped on the shoulder or not, or whether he's unfortunately compromised or his life's been threatened. If he doesn't start, he's already pushing China as the grand enemy. If he ignores Benjamin Netanyahu, he will lose any moral ground he thinks he has, and his audience are not that dumb. They're going to wake up, and he's finished socially, economically, and morally, and also perhaps legally.
Well,
and
let me insert something here, because you know, I was going in just the other day. I believe it was over the weekend, last weekend, and I was looking at the numbers. I was going into the back to compare numbers because, you know, when my website went down, Brendan, the numbers all crashed. And when you know, with these rating agencies like Alexa.com, it takes 90 days for them to evidently recapitulate it or whatever. So my site is not rated yet. But I was going in and looking at different sites, and I was looking. I went into Infowars.com and I looked at it, and this guy's numbers has taken a nosedive. And when you say, you know,
he's going to say that's a plot. He's going to say that's a plot by the deep state to drop his numbers.
Well, but when you say he's going to jail, I mean, what have they got him compromised on something here, or what? What are your thoughts?
You can't ignore what is before your eyes. You can't say China is the enemy, and there's Benjamin Netanyahu shaking hands, smiling, beaming, saying, "Ha ha, we're teaming up with China." And F you, by the way, United States. Literally, he's giving the finger to the United States. Now that makes Donald. I mean, this is not rocket science. No pun intended. It's not missile science, rocket science.
Okay.
It's not electrical engineering. It's in your face. Now you understand why the FBI is going. The Russiagate is real. It's really Israelgate. And now Mueller, I'm not sure his exact role because there's question marks over him too, but Mueller's now moving on to Israel, we see. So it's getting interesting. Let's hope it's just not another distraction. As the truth comes out, whether they're just trimming the sails, trying to keep everyone yes, we're onto it, but they're not. Whatever the answer, let's just be smart about it. Where they operate on multiple levels, but I'm feeling that we're pushing day-to-day, ordinary people pushing this narrative. We are going to get traction, and pretty soon Alex Jones is going to have to address it. He will address it. I believe he will. Within 6 months, you will see Alex Jones admit. He'll do his, "Oh, yeah, I've got to admit when I'm wrong, and I feel duped. I feel terrible. I can't believe I missed it." That's what he's going to do.
You do a great impression of him. I mean, you could actually...
I've been practicing.
You could actually adopt an American accent there, Brendan, but don't do that because I think that's part of why all the listeners love you. But anyway, listen, we got to go to a break. Final segment coming up. And when we get back, I want to mention something. When you back to that whole tranny thing, you know, that whole LGBTQ thing, right? Okay, I had a listener send me an email the other day that I looked at. And I'm going to bring it up after the break. So stick around. Last segment coming up, folks. Be right back.
Putting sunlight on the political cesspool. Back to the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog.
All right, folks, we're back. You know, Brendan, I'm impressed. If my producer wrote that commercial for Simply Clean Foods, I've got to give him some credit. That was a good one. I thought I wrote the best commercials, you know, on the air. But that being said, that was a really good one. Makes me want to buy that product, and I want those people up on the air. Anyway, in closing out, I said before the break I wanted to mention this because I got an email from a listener talking about the LGBTQ and trannies that are infiltrating the media, and he sent a bunch of videos talking about, you know, he wants me to watch about five or six of these videos and get my opinion of if that's really happening. So, yes, you know, if this is true, they are infiltrating everything, whether it's media, whether it's education, whether it's politics, it doesn't make any difference. Military, you know, it's just they have... They're stopping at nothing to overrun us, Brendan. Go ahead.
Yeah, the gay mafia, I mean, needs to be looked at. Most people don't understand the gay mafia. It's a mafia, man. And they are powerful. More powerful than you can imagine. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to have to say this. Oh, yes, I have gay. In fact, one of my best friends, the guy that stood by me, is gay. All right? So, but you got to understand, there are conservative-type gays out there who are literally in long-term relationships who don't like these Mardi Gras, don't like the sexual aspect, and are embarrassed by all this crap. Don't alienate people, but at the same time, the gay mafia is real. They deal a lot of drugs, they work in intelligence because they don't get married, they're free to move around, they don't have families dragging them down, so they tend to climb the corporate ladders, so they're high-value targets. particularly in countries, like Saudi Arabia or anywhere we have a very traditional, a very religious application of specific laws. I mean, in the Jewish Old Testament, you're meant to stone them. So they are a lot of leverage. They're usually social climbers. They're very, you know, friendly. They have a large social network, so they're targets. The gay mafia is dangerous and needs to be exposed for sure, and we will do that in the future as part of this ongoing process. But yes, the infiltration is so much, but this is just classic. We remember, I remember the peaceniks. They're always calling for peace, but the Soviet Union's not dismantling. Sukhoi, the big aircraft manufacturer, they're not shrinking back. The Chinese military isn't shrinking back, but people want the U.S. military. I want the U.S. military to expand. I want it to stimulate the U.S. high technology sector, and I want to cut off from Israel and see it. Not just cut it off. I want Mattis to land five divisions of Marines on the Tel Aviv beach, and I'm not even joking. I'm being deadly serious, and invade that country and dismantle every single high technology program, take the Intel factory back to the United States, and stop handing this technology to the enemies of the United States. This is Soviet-era program coming from within. Henry Kissinger should be executed for what he's done. Sidney Rittenberg, all these names, we've got to get this list, and we have to put this also on a website after this, and I will do a blog post. It will be rough, but it will have the links, and you'll be able to get this stuff together for yourself. And I am working on a video. It's a big, actually a pretty big job. It's going to be a couple of weeks away. But it will, as far as I'm concerned, be the definitive work I've done. And then it's pretty much all I have to do video-wise, because it's all there. Once you understand, it's just a matter of disseminating this narrative into the alt media mainstream.
And by the way, thank you very much, because Brendan has been posting all of our shows on YouTube. And, you know, well, just getting it's getting listeners. You know, so that's all that matters. But, you know, Milikowski, or Netanyahu, if you will, you know, he's bragging about all this technology that Israel has that they've stolen from the United States. And, yes, if we can, you know, exorcise, if you will, this predator from us, the United States, the mentality, the technological aspect of the United States, we're the most brilliant people at technology in the world. And Israel's now taking credit for it. They're saying, oh, yeah, we're the best, blah, 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 blah. You boycott us, we'll boycott you, and it's all been stolen from the United States. You know, I mean, the audacious depths of what these people go to, and I don't know that much about the demon seed, if you will, you know, but it seems like, and I did an interview with the Harold Rosenthal interview. Do you know who he is, Brendan? Or he was?
Sorry, say again.
Harold Rosenthal. Do you know who he was?
No, but I'm sure I do. But yeah, go.
Okay. Well, I did an interview. I did a double show, part one and part two, on the Harold Rosenthal interview, where he admitted, and this is back in 1976, that Jews hate to admit it, but their God is really Lucifer. You know, and I thought about doing that, reading that interview again for the sake of the listening audience. But he was assassinated shortly after he did that interview, which I thought was rather interesting. But anyway, all right, let's go ahead and see if we can finish up with this. Where were we here?
We need to move on to the legislation. We've just shown the history of these spy rings, the Pollard case, the fact that the placing of Pollard was just one of dozens of the complete high-level penetration of U.S. Intelligence community, the government, education departments, all this stuff. And what the Executive Intelligence Review of Lyndon LaRoche, who did a lot of good work early on before he was arrested, is showing that this ongoing process, the usual suspects, the Richard Perls, the Jintza, the AIPAC, the Boltons, the Bill and Irving Kristols, the usual suspects, Jintza and so on, all these Jewish Israeli Firster groups, and we should include in there people like Adelson and the drug money laundering through the casinos, Iran-Contra mentioned, all that stuff. Now we're going to move on to the actual. And we also talked about the BIRD, these joint legislative agreements between the United States and Israel with the U.S. State Department flowing into Israeli intelligence. All right, now we're going to talk about the actual legislation from Congress, which completely links, and you'll understand the Talpiot program. You'll understand the Israeli high technology sector. You will understand it all via this legislation. But before we move on, just consider this. There's a lot of hoo-ha in Intel right now. The head of Intel, the CEO, all right, Mr. Krzanik, what's his first name? Oh, for God's sake, my memory's shocking. He was the chief operating officer, Krasenik.
We got four minutes to cram this in, so go ahead.
Right, and is that it? And that's all the time we have? We're finished?
Yep.
We are too. Okay. Well, he's just been sacked over there's something going on at Intel, but Andy Grove, a Holocaust survivor who had revolutionized the personal computer industry as chairman of Intel, has died. Now, this was a few years ago. But again, his real name was Anders István Grof. He was from a Jewish parents out of Budapest, Hungary. I just tossed that in because there's stuff going on with Intel. But listen, here is from Diane, a grandma from Tennessee. Oh, here we go. I lost my place. Let's get down very quickly. We're going to go like the wind to understand. From Chapter 42, Title 42, the Public Health and Welfare Chapter 152, Energy Independence and Security, Subchapter 8, International Energy Programs, Part A, Assistance to Promote Clean and Efficient Energy Technologies in Foreign Countries. Are you ready? United States Israel Energy Corporation. This is your legislation, America. All right, this is what your Congress people put through. This is from 1990-something. A, findings. Congress finds that, one, it is in the highest national security interest of the United States to develop covered energy sources. Two, the state of Israel is a steadfast ally of the United States. Three, the special relationship between the United States and Israel is manifested in a variety of cooperative scientific research and development programs, such as, A, the United States-Israel Binational Science Foundation. We just mentioned that. The United States-Israel Binational Industrial Research and Development Foundations. These programs have made possible, A, many scientific, technological, and commercial breakthroughs in the fields of life sciences, medicine, bioengineering, agriculture, biotechnology, communications, and others, and B, significant contributions to the development of renewable energy and energy efficiency through the established programs of the United States-Israel Binational Industrial Research and Development Foundation. We just talked about that. Right, in the Executive Intelligence Review, it was all linked in with Pollard. These people are spies. That foundation links the U.S. State Department with Israeli military intelligence. I'll read it again. The Israel Binational Industrial Research and Development Foundation and the United States Israel Binational Science Foundation. And that goes on forever, right? And there is the Talpiot program, right there. There is the Soviet-era complete infiltration. Not only did they infiltrate, they put it into your legislation that you will facilitate the communist takeover of Australia, of America, and the world. You are forced by legislation to fund China, to hand China technology via Israel, to hand your enemies, Russia, technology via Israel, Iran via Israel, all for this long-term planning Belt and Road Initiative pan-Eurasian superstate, which will have its center in greater Israel. I hope you're happy, America. I hope the Christian evangelicals are real happy as you support a socialist synagogue of Satan, Marxist state called Israel. I hope you're damned happy, and I hope Donald Trump better watch out himself, and we hope the good people in the CIA and the FBI and General Mattis in the U.S. military get this man on the right track.
Now, folks, do you understand why this is so important to know? It's in our own legislation. Our own legislation. They are forcing us to do this. This is why it's so imperative that this must be exposed, and it needs to be shouted to the high heavens, okay? Because they have done an excellent job of cloaking under biblical means what they're really doing. And this is why I say Revelations 2:9 and 3:9, beware of those who say they are Jews that are not, okay? We can see by looking back at the Harold Rosenthal interview, these people really are the synagogue of Satan.
Amen. And just remember, people, I'm not joking. My initial information and carrying on all the way through to Jeremy Roth Kushel, Jews of conscience, patriot American Jews are feeding us information. They fed me information from the very damn start. Yes, they were cowards and ran like hell, like everyone else, when the police stepped in. But that's nothing to do with them being Jewish or identify as Jewish. That's just them being scared. So please understand, we've got to link up with as many people. And imagine if Patrick Little, instead of quoting his white nationalist friends, if Patrick Little, instead of going on about the Holocaust, as he did with Japanese mainstream media, international media, if he'd have been pushing this issue or not. Imagine. Why aren't these standing for Congress and the Senate people talking about this? We need to get people that have brains. There is no one with any brains, Mike.
I know. Well, I was going to put him up on the air, and after I uncovered all of this stuff of what he was doing, I said, nah, I don't even want to bring him up in front of my listening audience. And then after the primary, when he went from 18% down to 1.5%, that's when his producer or his campaign manager begged me to bring him up on the air, and I declined. We're out of time, Brendan. We'll have another show next week, folks. Bye for now. We're out of time. Thank you for listening. Write some of this stuff down.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.